Discussion with Ajahn Suchin in the Shangri-La Hotel, Bangkok, May the 1st, 2001. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Betty, John, Sarah, Ivan, Sangjun, L, and Suchin.
Ajahn, I wasn't aware till recently, but apparently there's some controversy about the Abhidhamma, whether it was taught by the Buddha or whether it's invented after his death.
So what do you think about that?
Well, I would have just always accepted that it's Buddha word.
Yeah.
But I'm just mentioning
some people it's a stumbling
block. They just want to argue, I think.
Yeah.
They don't want to learn before that what is this about, the truth of reality or what. If it's not the Buddha's word, they don't care or mind.
So is this controversy found in Thailand also?
Yeah, long time ago.
I see. Yeah. Long-standing. Anything one can say to people who have
read this? It doesn't matter what
this,
you call it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who told us about it.
All right. The problem is that it's the Abhidhamma which tends to refute a lot of points that people have about the practice. If they think that they have to develop samatha or that there's formal practice and so forth, and it's the Abhidhamma that is the best means of sometimes refuting this, but then they answer back, well, but the Abhidhamma isn't the Buddha word, so maybe their wrong view that motivates them to reject the Abhidhamma.
We don't mind whose word, what about the intention or motivation of doing something, like developing samatha or meditation or sitting and think about it. But what is the right understanding of what, of this moment of reality?
Someone said the other day, don't talk about this moment.
So what about
that's the Sukha Vipassaka route.
Yes, but what moment then?
Yeah,
what moment
exactly.
Then? Because
what else is real except the moment?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what else is real? But using drugs to treat mental problems, things that alter one's mood or something, there's no sila aspect to that, is there? Nothing wrong with that in sila terms?
It's not just for to be intoxicated.
No.
So it's different motivation.
To help someone at the moment by giving Dhamma reminders or practical solutions like go and see a doctor, or sometimes it's a combination of the two. Sometimes it's hard to know what kind of advice is most suitable at the time.
I think something I've realized a bit more lately is that the only long-term solution is the Dhamma one, because anything else is just a temporary kind of fix, and if you have the accumulations, the problem arises again and again. But of course, one can give both the Dhamma solution and the practical one at the same time. I think the other day I was saying to you how people tend to misunderstand when, for example, one explains that samatha isn't necessary for development of vipassana, and they think that you're against samatha and that sort of thing. So I wanted to read out what someone wrote as an example. Now this person is exaggerating because he's overstating it, but it's quite interesting to hear his response. This is someone who's been following us on the list for about
6 months and has read all the Tipitaka many times.
He's been interested in the Dhamma for about 30 years, but always following the usual kind of meditation teacher kind of approach. He writes, one, everything I ever thought I knew or understood about the Dhamma is completely wrong. Two, there is no kusala gama except samasati of the Eightfold Path, which arises only with the stages of enlightenment. Three,
how did he get such idea?
Well, this is what I'm saying. He is exaggerating somewhat.
But where did he get it?
Yeah, this is what I don't understand. He thinks this is what we are saying, because we question or we suggest that samatha is not necessary for development. Therefore, he thinks that we are saying, don't be interested in samatha, don't be interested in dana or sila. The only thing that's of any use is satipatthana.
And we've discussed so much what it's meant by wirya and practice and anatta and very, very difficult for people like this.
Instead of talking a lot about things like that, what about just one subject at a time? In order to have clear understanding, really clear understanding, for example, about samatha first. What is meant by samatha?
We've had very long, detailed discussion just on...
Not samatha pavana, only samatha.
Just only samatha.
Yeah, only
or
samatha.
Or just metta, or just viriya. The problem is that the idea of self, the clinging to self, is so strong that even when one's discussing about what is meant by samatha, or what is meant by metta, still...
Because we should consider one dhamma at a time, not mix all together. But if we talk about practice, what is it? Any term, we should have clear understanding so we don't mix them all up. Even viriya, there are many degrees. Viriya at moment when there is lopa mula citta, even just so very slightly, there is viriya, but of what degree? See? And viriya can arise with right path and wrong path. You can ask if there is the wrong path in Tipitaka. Otherwise, there must be all right path. But in reality, there must be wrong path as well. So if he can point out or explain, we would like to hear about wrong path. Now, we don't want to hear about the right path. We just want to know the wrong path so that we won't go wrong. And listen to his answer.
He's followed other teachings for 20, 30 years, and then you begin to realize maybe it's wrong, and it can be very disturbing or frustrating.
Yes. Actually, there's one fellow came to the foundation one time, and he'd been wrong practicing for 20 years.
Well, he doesn't say that he has right thing at all. Everything I do was wrong. Did he say like that?
Everything yes. I ever thought I knew or understood about Dhamma is completely wrong.
Completely wrong.
Mm.
So what about the kusala moment?
About that, he
and
says,
what about the vipaka? Because he read a lot on Tipitaka, so he knows about the four chati.
Right.
The vipaka cannot be the akusala, it cannot be wrong. You can ask, and what about the vipaka? It's not the akusala moment.
Mm. No, I think that apart from this particular person, that something like this tends to be people's reaction when they hear, when one says that samatha is not necessary, for example.
So we should say clearly that samatha is not samatha bhavana.
Samatha could you explain that a bit?
Samatha is kusala citta at any moment, because
right.
at that moment there is no lobha, dosa, moha. So samatha is when citta is kusala,
right.
but it's so short according to the viti citta, only 7 moments. And even right now, the process of seeing and hearing and thinking, arising and falling away so fast that nobody can tell mm-hmm. the difference between the sense door and the mind door, which follows instantly
right.
after pavanga. So one cannot say that it is wrong all the time, all right, unless there is the awareness at that very moment. And when one talks about the four chatis, one forgets about the vipaka. Because if he said that he read a lot, we can tell them about this, the point, different points. And for example, since the kusala is so short, like this moment, one forget that, oh, at this moment it is a kind of samatha. Following or reading or beginning developing the understanding of Dhamma is like recollection on Dhamma, recollection on Buddha, recollection on Sangha. Because when one has the understanding of Dhamma, why are we not now considering or thinking about Dhamma? See, so they don't know that even studying or discussing on Dhamma is also samatha, because while the awareness is not aware of a reality, it has to be samatha level. Because this level now, we don't have dana, we don't have to have sila, no object for sila, but object for being calm.
We've pointed this out,
yeah.
And because we always mention about samatha now in daily life,
yeah.
Like opportunity to give or share or
they mix
show kindness.
Samatha and Samatha Bhavana.
Yes. Sorry, so what is the difference between Samatha and Samatha Bhavana then?
Because one realizes that the Kusala moments are so short, so very short. That's why those who can develop Chitta to be more Kusala, since they can be aware of Kusala Chitta, which is different from Akusala Chitta. So they can develop by knowing the object that the mind would be calm, like studying or being metta or karuna or maranasati or anything that citta is kusala. And if one thinks vitaka about that object more often, the mind is calm, because even there is not time for giving away for dana or sila, but one can think of the other with metta instead of thinking with dosa and thinking of jealousy or things like that. So this is samatha in daily life, not having to go to somewhere and concentrate on an object without realizing with the citta at that moment, wanting to concentrate. Because all the kusala moments must be the moment of detachment. For example, the giving away is also detached from clinging to the object. Otherwise, one cannot give it away. And sila is the same, because one has to detach from one's own conceit or anything that one can have good speech and good deeds with kindness to the others, see? And for samatha bhavana or vipassana bhavana, for samatha, one realizes that one is so attached to the sensuous object in the day, from seeing, hearing all day. So they know that if the mind does not follow all the objects through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, the citta can become. So they develop, and not everyone can attain the absorption concentration, the jhana, because even the Aryans, those who have enlightened, can attain only, not the absorption concentration, the other level.
Access.
Not the absorption one,
right.
The upachara. For the Aryan sense, for the Aryans only. For those who are not an Aryan, even one recollects the virtues of Buddha or Dhamma or Sila, it's impossible to be calm to that degree. So it's not for everyone. And one has to study the object of samatha bhavana carefully. How many objects can be the object for attaining jhana? For example, the corpse, okay, and the anapanasati, the breath. But one has to be so very skillful. It's not knowing anything about the danger of attachment to sensuous object. Just want and want and want to sit, want and want to gain. That is not samatha bhavana, because it has to be detachment from akusala temporarily, because one cannot get rid or eradicate the tendencies of akusala if it's not vipassana bhavana.
So just to follow up on the question of samatha versus samatha bhavana, if, for example, there are moments of kusala arising now because we are listening to and discussing Dhamma, there could be samatha bhavana also.
What is the meaning of bhavana? Bhavana means having more and more often so that it can be stable to the degree of concentration, absorption, and access concentration, see? But it doesn't mean that there is no understanding, no detachment, just wanting or craving for something happen to be still, not moved from this object to the other object. No. That is wrong.
Right. So would it be at the beginning level understanding the kusala nature of the present moment, or would it be understanding that the object of the citta conditions
It's not just the object, but it has to be right understanding of the moment when there is such object that is kusala or not.
Kusala.
For example, corpse, it can condition dosa instead of panya, see? So it does not depend on the 40 objects of samatha bhavana. It depends on the understanding of what is samatha. It must be kusala. And when it arises so short, the characteristic of samatha, tranquility, does not appear because it's so short. But when citta is kusala, more and more and more,
yes,
it can be calm and more calm, and then it can attain that stage of knowing that it's like a stage of concentration with calmness, with understanding too, not just not knowing about anything as the result that most people say, that they don't know what how it happened like that.
There's a slight chicken and egg situation here, because you can only know citta is kusala if it has the characteristic of calm, but you can only learn the characteristic of calm if the citta is kusala. So,
You see that by giving things away, nobody can know the citta that it's calm at that very moment, because it's so short that we think of giving, just give for the other's benefit. But what about the citta at that moment of giving? Because there is seeing and hearing, and if the object is unpleasant,
right.
Can we tell that at the moment of giving is calm? Because it's not always calm.
Mm.
It depends on the object which interferes.
I think the same thing about, say, dosa, and getting back to Nina's comments about awareness of dosa. People think that if they have dosa, there can be awareness of dosa. But it's something the same, that what we take to be the dosa is a mixture of things.
But that is not satipatthana, because satipatthana must be straight. Must be... actually, the word patipatti in Pali, patti is particular, and patti is thing to reach or to touch a particular object. For example, when it's dosa, it is the awareness of the characteristic of that particular dosa. It doesn't mean that I don't know they all mix up and I'm practicing vipassana. It's not like that. It has to be from the very beginning. The moment when there is awareness is different from the moment when there is no awareness. Right understanding knows that. That's why the Eightfold Path starts with right understanding. Without right understanding, it's impossible to say that now one is developing right understanding, because there is no right understanding in the very beginning. So how can it develop?
Back to what you were saying about development of samatha, can one say, just as one would say about development of vipassana, that it depends on understanding and conditions whether a particular kind of samatha is developed, not on intention? For example, if someone opens a sutta about metta or reads something about metta at this moment with the intention of understanding about metta or developing metta, then of course maybe moments of lobha or maybe moments of understanding. It just depends on the citta at the moment. But whether one particular kind of samatha bhavana has developed and not another, can we just say it just depends on the understanding of that citta and that object, not because of some idea that one would like to develop metta as object rather than dana or Buddha or...
Yes, that is not right understanding, and that is not kusala. I was asked once whether if that person had intention to develop the Dhammanusati, can that be all right or something like that? But one does not see why there is selection.
Immediately, see, is an idea.
Because when one reads in the text like Visuddhimagga or somewhere, it says about different jarit, tosa jarit, moha jarit, or putta jarit. And that person tried to find out, who am I, what kind of jarit I am. But how can that person know if there is no awareness in his life more often to really understand the jarit of oneself at that very moment? So they try first to know when it's not right understanding, but they think that that is right understanding that should be found out first in order to develop it. But it's not possible. But by developing satipatthana or being aware of a level of samatha, one can learn to know what nature one is.
I just wonder how or why. So for example, maybe metta becomes an object more for someone and breath for someone else. But when you talk about something like color disc or earth casino, I just wonder how just naturally by conditions this will ever become the object for some people, why someone would even have the accumulation without any intention to develop samatha with some colored disc as object.
One cannot stop thinking, right? We have different thoughts all the time. And when someone thinks about earth, for example, or solidity in the absolute sense, but in not the sense of not self, everything is only solid.
Everything
is solid.
Mm.
Everywhere. Even the land, the country that most people fight in order to just get the solid.
A little bit of earth.
from head to toe and everything.
Yeah, everything we depend on.
Yeah, so the development on solidity or the earth and the things like that is not just read and then look for the earth and then just look at it and think that, oh, now I'm having the earth in my mind and things like that, and that is samatha bhavana. No detachment from with a right understanding at all.
And for those in the ancient texts who developed high levels and jhanas, by conditions, may there have been many different objects that samatha bhavana was developed to that level, or just this one or this one?
So it depends on the individual's accumulation. For example, metta and moranasati is common and is so useful in daily life because we can thinking of death, recollection on death.
Recollection of death.
Morana is death. Because we cannot help seeing people all day long, all the time. Yeah. What about the metta, which is calm, to be friendly, ready to help, instead of dislike this and that?
And for those we're attached to, then the recollection that we will be separated from them.
Well, because in order to really have metta, it has to be panya, which knows the difference between attachment and metta. Attachment is not metta. Loving metta is metta. Possible to develop metta while one have craving, attachment, and name it or call it metta, see? Because the deeds or the speech towards anybody with metta is exactly the same, like the speech and deeds you do to the one you like, exactly. But delete or leave out the attachment, and that is pure metta, that you can do to that person or anyone like you can do to the person that you have attachment. So when one reads the Pitaka, one should read carefully and understand what is meant, and don't forget the purpose of the teachings about for detachment from akusala, no matter is what level of kusala.
Yes, because I know in the Metta Sutta, I think it is, the simile is given of the feeling of a mother towards the child, but there's so much attachment.
Without attachment, we have to know what is in the brackets. What you can do to the one you love, and you can do to anyone like that, without attachment.
So that's why it can be very helpful to hear or consider about any of the objects of samatha, because we never know what opportunity there will be in a day for what kind of kusala.
Actually, I find this a little bit unusual, because if you acted towards strangers in the same way you act towards your son or daughter, for example,
when time comes,
depending on
you
don't
have to run and do it.
Yeah, but there has to be a little bit of I don't know if it's wisdom, the right word, to know that I'm not going to stand on the subway in New York and embrace the homeless guys.
A bit of discrimination.
It's not like that at all. Yeah. It just means that when the opportunity...
Just begin, firstly, be friendly from your heart, sincerely. Yeah.
You don't have to show it in your face. Uh-huh. You don't have to go up and hug them.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You may not even look at them, but you can...
Yeah. Realizing, but one knows.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem is, like in these letters that Jonathan was mentioning, is people have such a sort of fixed idea of what samatha practice is, and they have such a fixed idea that they are attaining levels of jhana and high level. So if you talk about understanding of the reality now, knowing whether it's kusala or akusala, they say, well, we're just talking about the sukha vipassaka way, or it's very difficult for them to relate their practice to this moment.
Because what people usually do is read this and that and then that and then have their own idea.
Their own idea, exactly. And there's a lot of the idea that this has worked for many other people. I know many people who've practiced samatha and they are very calm people, and I can tell they've made progress along the path, so therefore it must be the right way.
Let them experience the reality that they dislike so much.
Yeah, right.
Instantly.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So just getting back to development of samatha in daily life, it's a question of having more understanding of the citta at the moment of kusala.
Mm-hmm. Because one has to know clearly the difference between samatha and samatha bhavana, that they used to think that it has to be practiced.
Yes.
Because they think that by practicing samatha they have to sit and just recite like metta.
Right.
From line to line.
Right.
But what about seeing anyone on the street? Is there any metta?
And in a way, every time that person is the object of one's citta, there is opportunity for metta in a sense.
Right.
So it's a test of level of one's samatha.
What about breath? So many people think they are developing breath as the object of samatha, and if one just says, okay, one needs to know at this moment whether it's kusala or akusala or how the breath is calming the mind, is not adequate. How can one help people who think they have developed a very high level of samatha by concentrating? And if one just says, okay, well, it's, the purpose is not to concentrate but to understand this moment of kusala or akusala.
To be detached.
To be detached.
So coming to the point of being detached,
because there is,
should we select the breath for the object to be calm?
Should we?
When there is the understanding that samatha is the development of detachment,
right,
should that person who knows this choose breath?
Need.
See?
That's a good question.
Because it's not detachment at all, wanting for just that object.
The thing is, they read the text and they think that there should be deliberate.
It's not said anywhere that anyone should develop samatha on breath, because it says in the Tipitaka that it's for great person, for sure.
This
like
Buddha
and not by special intention.
But nobody can stop a once to be aware of breath. It depends. Who knows? But the aim shouldn't be having tranquility on breath or wanting to experience the arising and falling away of breath, because by having such idea, it's not detachment again. Because all the way of the teachings Buddha must be detachment.
And they attach to the feeling they get when they're concentrating on the breath, and it feels so good, and they attach to that feeling.
Well, in the suttas, it does, in my mindfulness, it talks about breath, but it says one knows there's a short breath and there's a long breath. But that doesn't mean that they want to know that. It's just they know when there's a short breath, there's a short breath. They know when there's a long breath, there's a long breath.
Yeah, but
that's usually a method by the monks to teach you.
No, but it doesn't have to be a method. If it's there, it's there. If there's
but it's usually the monks teach one to be aware of focusing on breath, just to be aware that sometimes they're short, sometimes they're long. But then so what?
Well, that's what I don't say, is that it's, if it's wanting, then it's not. The right approach, knowing, is different to wanting.
See, there should be the understanding, clear understanding of everything before doing anything, or before following any word. For example, if someone tells me or us or anybody to concentrate on breath, what for and what is breath? If there is no understanding, no explanation, it's useless, because no panya. So without panya, it can condition attachment.
It's just a concept.
The same question.
So what is breath?
It's just a concept.
Well, if we're talking about in terms of realities, this moments of hardness or softness that is experienced, if we're talking about as object of samatha, then it's...
The same.
Realities.
Must be breath, not word breath, but the reality of breath. So that person really understand what is breath, not just goes right to having the name breath here, but is the quality of that solidity or heat or cold at that very moment, which just touch, like the other part of the body. In order to know that there is no attachment to a certain point, there shouldn't be selection at all. But if there is awareness of it, don't be afraid. See, this is how to be brave enough to see reality is as it is, as not self. Otherwise, the self will avoid again. I'm not the great person, things like that, see? So on the way to develop right understanding of reality.
But if there is, for example, if there is awareness of the reality, the hardness or softness of this moment, then this is beginning level of satipatthana. But in samatha, it is the concept.
No, not all concept, because you see that there must be breath as the object, but not the idea that it's not self. That is only rupa,
so
and
the
nama. But the development of samatha, because it's so calm at that moment, and it will condition the vision for that stage of calmness, which is not breath anymore. See? It's not like satipatthana. It's so fast and so sure that when it's right understanding there, it can penetrate the arising and falling away instantly.
Is it the same as, for example, if we're talking about, let's say there is a moment of, there is metta at this moment when one helps someone, and then maybe, you know, later when we're falling asleep, conditions to reflect on that metta, which is beginning of my conditions, a moment of samatha later. With breath, can it be, let's say, for example, there is an awareness of breath, even if it's not as anatta, so it's moment of samatha, and later there is reflection on that citta the same way.
That's why panya knows everything as it is, whether it is kusala citta, with panya or without panya.
Whether it is understanding this or not.
But that is vipassana or satipatthana only, which just knows more than samatha.
Just like to come back to what you said earlier about the subject of breath being a suitable subject for great people only. When this is mentioned to some people, they do react quite strongly to this, because they've been taught by meditation teachers that breath
about
is a suitable
the word in
object.
The Tipitaka?
And also, isn't it said in the Suttimagga that breath is a suitable object for any person?
No, not at all.
I think
they all claim that the Tipitaka says it too.
Some objects are suitable for some people and not others, but breath, I think it says, is
actually,
doesn't say everyone can do it, but it says that certain objects for certain kind of people, but breath is suitable for anyone.
Even for those who are Aryans who have enlightened, when they came to ask Buddha, when Buddha was away, what should be the object of developing? Only six. Anusati. Breath is not mentioned at all.
I see.
So when breath is not mentioned, why people think that we should concentrate on?
I mean, it is a reality that is the object of the citta, but the level of understanding is not the same level as in satipatthana, because it doesn't understand the reality as not self. But I had always thought that the object of samatha was, or most samatha objects are concept, right? Including breath as a concept, the object of samatha, for example, the breath touching the tip of the nostril, and I thought that was also concept, but not so.
Concept of breath, but there must be the reality which touches.
I see. Yes.
If there isn't any understanding of the reality, even at the level of samatha, can concept be the object? Can samatha be developed with the concept of breath as object if there is no understanding of the reality?
So how can you know that that's breath? Only the concept or what? The reality of breath. Otherwise you cannot have such concept.
Yes.
That is breath.
But there may be the reality without any clear understanding of the reality. For example, if one reflects on breath in this way, one may be mixing up different realities. So it may not be precise understanding of hardness or softness. It may be just some conceptual idea of breathing in and out.
Yeah, and there must be the understanding of breath in order to become detached too. Otherwise there is the wanting to concentrate or to have breath as the object. What can give one some understanding about breath when there is breath appearing?
The heat,
the
temperature,
the
movement.
Yeah, but what about the detachment from breath? Yeah, to be calm, in order to be calm. There must be some understanding about it. So that it's kusala.
That it's not part of a self. It's a concept, and that it has just, you have to look at the three characteristics of the breath, of that concept. Meaning, these are three rupa that one, that the body sense would experience. What conventional terms is called the breath. That it's warm. That it moves. It's movement.
Hardness and softness.
Yeah, that it's, I guess, soft in terms of when it's felt.
But actually, breath is part of the body.
Yes, it's part of the body, but it's not.
Is
it's
right?
Not a
breath
self.
Yeah. Why not? It's here, not other place.
I see what you're saying. It's a body part, so that
it's not the 32 parts, which is not look pretty or it's filthy, but breath is part of the body. Without breath, how can one live?
But the sense of touch can experience those three rupa of, that we call breath as aramana, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then how can we say the breath is part of the body?
It's part of the body because it's here. Not, there is only nose, there is also breath.
Oh, I see, you're making it like it's part of the nose, but it...
Not of the nose, because it's conditioned by citta.
Yeah. Oh, the breath would be, okay.
Mm-hmm. In order to become detached, can there be any understanding of breath? Otherwise, there would be attachment again, because we are attached to the whole body and also breath.
Oh yes, we're attached to the breath as part of the body, I agree with that, but one can experience breath outside the body also.
The other's breath? Or
even
your breath?
Own, on the back of your hand or
something. But the citta does not condition the breath which touches your hand, because breath arises and falls away instantly.
I see.
It's doing it automatically whether you're thinking about it or not.
That breath isn't conditioned by citta.
It continues.
Mm-hmm.
It's the uttu.
Mm-hmm.
Breath is seen as uttu?
Yes, but breath itself is the four primary rupas too.
Where does the breath conditioned by citta finish and the breath conditioned by uttu
begin? Usually
people
think that without breath one cannot live. It seems like it helps one to live. But in reality, breath is conditioned by citta.
Not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
How could breath condition jitta?
Well, it doesn't, but people think that life is dependent on breath.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that life, consciousness, jitta, is
conditioned
by breath.
Yeah, they would look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. By not knowing that citta conditions breath, people think that one depends on the breath. Mm. That is samatha. To see that life is so very fragile, just very, very fragile, that one has to depend on.
On breath.
On breath.
Just momentarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can condition detachment and calm about life.
So is this the purpose of breath as object or samatha, to develop detachment from
right.
life?
Mm-hmm.
At
yeah. To be kusala at that moment.
It rises and falls like everything else.
But for the understanding of breath as not self, it's only rupa like other rupa. But since it's conditioned by citta, it depends on citta for breath to be coarse, harsh, or soft, or very fine.
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter, but it shows the characteristic of citta with dosa, with lobha, with calmness, more subtle and more subtle.
But when it is, breath is the object of samatha, or when samatha is developed with this object, does it, kusala citta is developed, which detaches from life at this moment, does it make any difference what the real breath is like, whether it's coarse or subtle?
Mm-hmm.
Or
so there must be awareness, the sati, which is aware when breath is more subtle, with panya to see that how life depends on such the more refined rupa, see, to have detachment from life again.
So that you are saying there is a connection between the development of the panya at this level and how subtle the breath is,
yeah.
that is
mm-hmm.
experienced.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, no way to become detached by having breath as object.
Not just by reflecting on it or by...
How to be kusala without any understanding.
But I don't understand why, because it is more subtle, why the citta would be more kusala.
The more kusala citta, it conditions more refined
oh,
breath.
I see.
Yeah.
So one understands the connectedness mm-hmm. between the kind of breath and
yeah.
citta at
mm-hmm.
that moment. Because when one's angry, the breath is very coarse or something like this. What about when one's just having a pleasant feeling with lobha? Wouldn't it be more subtle also?
Comparing with kusala, lobha cannot be more subtle.
So for who is the breath meditation? Suitable for which kind of people?
Great people.
Who have meditated a lot, jhanas?
Those who can attain jhana, like Buddha and his disciples.
Excuse me, Tanajanta. So every time we breathe, we will have the jetana to breathe.
Jetana, jetasika arises with each citta.
It seems to me breathing is something that we do even without... If we move our hand, I think there must be jetana, but like some things, like when you sneeze, you don't necessarily have jetana to sneeze. It's a reaction of the body. So I'm just wondering if breathing... Would there have to be jetana involved in breathing?
Citta has jetana arising
right.
each moment.
Right. But the jetana that arises with citta is associated with the object of citta, isn't it?
We have to understand the rupa which is conditioned by citta. Even while one is fast asleep, is there any breath? Is there any intention to have breath? As long as there is citta, which can condition rupa, breath is one rupa,
right.
one group of rupa that is conditioned by citta.
So there will be jetana in the rupa. No?
Chetana arises with each citta,
each moment. Yeah, even the moment.
So even
Kosala, Kosala,
yeah, but every single citta.
The object of the Bhavanga citta is not the breathing. It is some object from previous lifetime.
That's right.
I'm more interested in your question how we can detach the self.
We cannot detach, but right understanding performs that function of detachment.
So, because when the breath is very fine, very, very fine, and then the understanding of the heat and the coldness arise, still there's a faint idea of self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It depends on whether it's panya at level of samatha or vipassana level, satipatthana level.
How can we switch from samatha to
spirit? No one can switch.
It just depends on conditions. For example, if the conditions at the moment to have metta, it arises anyway, not because we plan to have metta or we decide this is a good time, but because of many different conditions. You know, for metta to develop, it depends whether there is any understanding of the characteristic of metta or not. But not by choice.
Not by choice. So does time play an important role for this? If we have enough time to observe, for observing the reality, in that case, will arise.
What do you mean, the practice, the meditation, the development, or what?
For example, when we meditate.
Meditate, what do you mean by meditate?
When we use samatha. When we talk
and what
samatha.
Is samatha?
Samatha
to come back.
Focusing on.
No, samatha is not focusing. It's kusala citta.
Kusala citta.
Yeah.
Is breath also
panyatthana? The name?
Yeah. We're confused, sorry. So when we breathe, I think it's reality. We focus about those four materials, right?
The four elements?
Mahabuddha
Rupa.
Mahabuddha Rupa.
The four basic elements.
Basic elements, yes. And then When we experience heat, it's like a stream. It's like a stream. I don't know whether it's coming or not, but I try to explain from the experience.
Oh, I see.
And then I would like to know. There is still self. Although when we experience cold and coldness and heat.
When there is no panya, it has to be some idea about me or mine all the time.
And how about while meditating?
What do you mean by meditating? This is the question. While one is meditating.
Meditating.
Are you meditating?
I used to do it a lot. I used to do it sometimes because I cannot.
I cannot see
the panyasi whether the either whether it's a kusala or kusala, but
yeah.
Something see, I don't know.
You mean the panya understands?
The panya, something panya
understands. Yeah.
Well, no matter this one, the object of understanding, whether it's kusala or akusala.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, panya can understand everything.
And that is kusala at that moment, right? Although the object of panya is akusala.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know whether I still want to meditate. And that's why I try to ask Tadajan how to switch, how the panya can see. Realities during meditation.
What about forget it?
No.
After
No, I'm concentrating on breath.
No.
No light at all.
I just know the jetasika, the type of jetasika that happens that accompany the thought.
What type of jetasika?
Hate, anger, worry, whatever.
One by one, all together.
It's sort of before I just let go. I cannot follow it. I cannot term it. Whether it's
is that saying, Jen?
In reality. From your lecture, no, Seng Chan. And from my experience at that time, no, Seng Chan, but no world and no time, but no panya. But shocked.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Something must create it.
Ask Ivan about his experience. I don't want him to hear it again, but I'm just saying,
right.
Everyone has an experience like this at some time or other, or anyone can have this kind of experience.
No,
but
what is
great?
If it gives you no panya, and then it also brings you dosa.
What is jetasika at this moment?
Is there jetasika at this
what moment? Is jetasika
what
at
is
this moment?
At this moment, it should be kusala.
How many jetasikas are there?
Oh, the
normally all together.
Seven.
All together.
52.
Which one did you know now?
Know by the terms or know by experience?
Being experienced
right
now.
Oh, which one is being experienced? Those, for example.
One.
Jetana.
What is the characteristic of jetana?
The characteristic is sort of difficult to explain in English. Jetana, I want to do something. That's the I in the jetasika.
So it's not jetasika, it's you.
It's you.
Not jetasika.
Uh-huh.
But in order to know that it's not you, it's a jetasika. Is there any way to know that it's not you? The jetana is not you.
The panya knows it's a jetasika.
So it's not you who can know.
No.
The panya can know, but how can panya know?
Observing, right understanding, and then the vocabulary
yeah,
in English.
But when one knows that there is no self, no one, there are only now citta, jetasika, rupa. We have to really understand the characteristic of citta, jetasika, and rupa so that whatever appears is not you. So what should be developed first?
Right understanding of citta and jetasika and
of
rupa.
Your favorite word. Of
realities.
This moment.
Understanding. So what do you mean by understanding?
It's panya. You talk about panya,
right.
And panya is the understanding.
Oh, I see. But I always use the word I still cannot delete the word I from my dictionary.
No one can.
It's not the word, it's the understanding. So for example, if there is the idea at this moment of noticing or waiting for a special time to be aware of a chetasika or any other reality, it's not the same as understanding the moment of loba when it appears right
but
now.
But it's very short.
It's very
it
short.
Last.
It doesn't matter.
It won't last.
Excuse me. When you say that it's very short, is it from your experience that it's very short?
I dare not say it's from my experience and I cannot refuse it, but I know it's very short.
So before knowing that it's so short, there must be the understanding of that reality in order to see that it's so short.
It's so short.
But
and it
not just saying that it's so short, there must be the understanding of the reality so that you can say that it's so short.
Uh-huh. And Panajan, will the panya last?
No.
That's true.
Just the purpose of wanting to control.
So sometimes it's the motivating force to study. So I was wondering, what is this that always wanting to control the situation?
Yeah, the idea of self is so very deeply rooted for me, right?
Safe. And also we judge and move along based on the feelings.
Self again.
Feelings.
From my feeling.
Vedana.
Yeah. We crave for a pleasant feeling all day, all night.
All the time. Mm-hmm.
You said it's a teacher, yeah. It's a student, it's a close friend, right?
That's why we talk about the five khandhas.
Yes.
The rupa khandha.
Sometimes we have to relate in terms of the five khandhas to understand it.
Because everyone in this world cling to the sensuous object, the rupa khandha. Wanting, whatever you want is rupa. For whom? For vedana, the feeling pleasant only, which cannot stay. Just for a moment of being pleasant. And then the pleasant feeling changed from this object to another object instantly, unknowingly. So one cannot see that that is also dukkha, because there are three kinds of dukkha. The dukkha dukkha is the unpleasant bodily feeling, everyone knows. And also the mental unpleasant feeling, which everyone knows. But the viparinama dukkha, the other one, changing from pleasant moment from this object to another moment of the other object. If it's so pleasant, so nice, you don't want to change. But since we move from this to that, to that, to that, see, unknowingly that is dukkha. Why do we have to be like that? Because of clinging to the vedana. And the sankhara dukkha, which is everything, is not permanent. Not only the unpleasant or the pleasant feeling. So by having more understanding about realities, one can see more and more that there is no self. Nothing can be controlled.
But from what I understand, it means that sankhara
dukkha
conditions the other three.
No. Or no matter it is the dukkha or the viparinama dukkha or any kind of dukkha is sankhara dukkha, conditioned reality arising and falling away. So panya begins to see stage by stage. By seeing the unpleasant feeling bodily and mentally, that is so really dukkha. Nobody wants it. No one wants to have such feeling. But what about even one doesn't have such feeling? There is also dukkha, craving for something different, for different pleasant feeling again. We cannot escape from the dukkha that we do not realize it is dukkha. But by knowing the truth of craving, just want and keep on changing the object for its pleasant feeling. Never stop, even while one is eating or moving from place to place, from here to there. And the most difficult one to experience is the sankhara dukkha, the impermanent of all conditioned realities. And all these can be experienced by developing understanding. And I think that if one knows more about these, we'll have less attached to one's own five khandhas. Because no one can control, no one can have anything at will, even objects, rupa khandha. We think that we can buy it, we think that we can try to have it. But there are conditions for experience it or not. For example, those who seek for things or wealth. What about death? It can arise any moment. So what's the use of having everything? In one's thought that it's mine, but actually it doesn't belong to anyone. Just be yours only at the moment of seeing or thinking about it. Because actually everything arises and falls away in split seconds, so very short, like seeing at this moment and hearing, they cannot arise together. So how fast these two arising and falling with many cittas in between. It's like when there is pavanga citta, nothing appear, and then something appear through eyes, and then pavanga again, it's gone completely, and something appear like sound, and then pavanga again, so fast.
I think that contact conditions,
vedana
conditions attachment.
Yeah.
So Goenka was saying cut out the means that.
And who can cut?
Through meditation, slowly practice,
impossible.
That's what they believe, slowly.
Impossible. Because vedana arises with each citta, and contact also arises with each citta. So who can cut the vedana out?
Not really the vedana, but I think it's the
tanha.
Tanha. I think it's the tanha.
But in order to have no tanha, the panya must be there, not I who can cut. Because there is no self, there are 52 cetasikas.
But how would you explain this to people?
I think that people just read something here and there and then have their own idea.
Because a lot of people, I mean, millions
of people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because one believes in the teachers. One might not read by oneself at all.
Exactly. Just follow the teacher. Mm-hmm. Easy.
The problem is, I think it's just like she was saying, it's still the idea of catching or checking.
That why people are interested in such teachings, because they would like to have something.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to have it, really want, just tell me how to go, how to get there. And then they think that they have reached or attained such understanding. Well, there is no understanding of reality at all. They just think that they have understanding.
There seems to be a better understanding than before.
But what is this about?
What is it about?
If it's about cutting off the tanha, it's impossible. You see that it depends on one's understanding, because if there is the wanting of having knowledge or understanding, it's still me who wants. But by hearing and considering carefully, one knows and one understands reality as it is, that attachment is attachment, and it always attaches to feeling, to everything in one's life, and it's not wholesome to see that it's not wholesome, because when it's not as much as the unwholesome deeds, you cannot see its danger, but it keeps on accumulating from one moment to another moment. That's why we have different deeds and speech from this very moment of having akusala. It's anantara pajjaya in Pali. It means that one moment which arises and falls away condition the next moment and pass on everything. So when it's the moment of javana, kusala and akusala, after it has fallen away, it still keep on as pajjaya conditions. When it's wrong enough, it arises in the day. So we can see different speech and deeds by just a moment of arising and falling away, and arising and falling away in succession, that nothing lost, everything is there. So we cannot see that we can control anything, because it's only thinking and having some different views by accumulation from one moment which arises. And we can see the danger or the benefit of one moment. When it's a kusala, it is there. So no one can control anything.
In terms of cetasikas?
Yes, yeah.
What does it tell?
Vichikicca. Vichikicca cetasika.
That's a dangerous thing.
Common one.
Not as...
Yeah.
It's a good object for sati, isn't it?
Yeah.
When it's doubt, it's not attachment yet.
It's wrong view. And there can be pleasant feeling attaching to that wrong view, because the lopa mulacitta can arise with wrong view and with pleasant or indifferent feeling.
How come the panya would not arise to see that akusala citta?
Because we know panya by name, but not by the cetasika, which is panya. The panya, which is cetasika, is not what we think, that it can arise at any time. But it needs the development from hearing, considering what's right and what's wrong.
Then how come the panya can arise?
By hearing, considering, understanding, intellectual understanding.
From these five doors.
From hearing and understanding about realities. Panya is that reality which can understand reality as it is.
That's one level.
The first level is to understand reality as it is by hearing and considering.
And suppose?
For example, what is nama?
What is nama?
What is the reality of nama?
Nama.
Which arises?
Nama knows things.
So now, is there any nama?
Yes.
What is nama now?
Seeing.
So seeing is hearing. Nama. You know it by listening. But what is that quality or element of nama, not by name? What is real must have its characteristic, its function. No, it doesn't move like that.
Impermanent
is not like that either. Not up and down, not left to right.
Thinking about it is not understanding the moment of experiencing.
Desire is desire. It's not wrong view. Wrong view is the moment when it's not right understanding about reality as it is. For example, now there is no body. There are only citta, cetasika and rupa, nama and rupa. This is the intellectual understanding. We cannot say that this is wrong. When we really understand, not just remember that there are three paramattha dhamma, citta, cetasika and rupa. This is memory about the words and the term. But it's not the understanding of reality which now appears as rupa is rupa. For example, visible object is seen, so there must be the other element which can see, which can know, which can experience visible object. Or when sound appear, how can sound appear if there is no element which can hear it? So by studying or understanding the two realities as nama is nama and rupa is rupa, this is the understanding, not just saying or remembering that there are citta, cetasika and rupa. And citta and cetasika are nama and rupa is rupa. That is not the understanding. But now there are nama and rupa. And when there is the studying, seeing sees now. So it's different from any kind of rupa. It doesn't have shape, form, sound, smell, taste, tangible object. If we leave out all this rupa, it's there. That element which just can experience or knows an object. So where am I? No place for I. It's only thinking about realities, not the discern or the penetration, the characteristic of each reality as it is. For example, the citta sees, but the cetasika feels and remembers, and the other one, cetana, is different again. All cetasikas are different. When there are awareness of realities, for example, when there is awareness of hardness, we don't have to say that it's hard or it's rupa.
It's not our dosa, it's just thinking that it's dosa for the other person. And you said it's because not enough understanding has been developed, so that's why we talk about these external
objects.
Mm-hmm.
But yet in the Satipatthana Sutta, we're talking about understanding of reality. So when we say, oh, it's because not enough understanding has been developed, why would...
Because when there is the precise understanding, there is no one.
So why do we need to call it external?
Because we used to take it for
just
this and that.
The habit to do. We mentioned at the beginning of the discussion when we started talking about samatha, about different kinds of wirya, and one or two people have asked about this on the discussion list, because people have an idea of wirya when they're doing something. They don't understand about the chetasika arising at almost every moment, and it's difficult for them to appreciate that, even to experience that object. Now people are beginning to appreciate that more, and we know that the chetasika is different at each moment. So if we're talking about wirya at each moment, wirya is different. Can we say that it is stronger when there is some action, or stronger when it is kusala than at a moment with tina mita, or can we just say it's different wirya? Can we actually say
when we say different, there must be degrees too.
Yes. Can we say that, oh, at a moment of kusala it is stronger than at a moment of...
It depends, because when wirya arises with low pamalocitta, which is so strong,
can be very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say that when there is some activity that it is...
What about saying that they are different by degrees?
Yes. And only a very finely developed panya can understand that particular...
When one reads the Pitaka, one forgets that one is reading about the Buddha's wisdom. We think that we can know and understand everything like him, but actually, for example, Pasa, can it be known? By whom? Buddha, Sariputta, and who else? Shall we? So one can see that as much as one can understand and as much as one can experience, depending on one's accumulation, which it cannot be known.
And one other slightly technical question on it. I explain whether it's kusala or akusala, wirya is energizing the chitta and chetasikas to experience an object.
Supporting is better
supporting
than energizing, I think.
Okay, supporting, because it mm-hmm. sounds...
Because it supports chitta and also other chetasikas which it accompanies,
mm-hmm.
not only chitta.
It sounds to people like Chittindriya or...
Different.
How would you explain?
Because Chittindriya arises with each moment. It support ajita chetasika for just that moment.
Even seeing or hearing.
Uh-huh.
Different kind of support.
Yeah, different kind of indriya too.
Right.
Yeah.
You mean because wirya can become the very wholesome indriya, you mean?
When it arises, it can be part of the potipakya dhamma samsichet. One can think about doing, I would like to do this and that at such time. But in reality, no one can do anything. One can think, but it doesn't mean that it will be like one have thought about it before.
Mm-hmm.
We may think that, oh, I'll do this, I'll think about that. But when time comes, it's different. So the best way is to understand that each moment is conditioned. It's the moment of thinking is thinking, but when time comes for dosa to arise, it has to arise by conditions. And when it's another moment of thinking about other things, it's not you who is trying to change, but it's conditioned to have different thinking.
Did you believe that during the samatha, the panya can arise to see those chetasika as non-self, impermanence. That's my belief. But
what is the most dangerous akusala chetasika?
What is the most
dangerous akusala chetasika?
Avijja.
Is avijja chetasika? Avijja doesn't know.
And moha, is it the same?
Same.
Are they the same?
Is that your answer?
Is that final answer?
Final answer.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think it's loka.
Michaditi.
Yeah.
That's why it should be the first to be eradicated.
I have to accept that I really cling or deeply attached to it.
To wrong view?
To the meditation. Wrong view, if you say that.
Yeah.
But I don't still
what
see,
would
I
be
have
more,
been listening.
Excuse me, what would be more pleasant, the moment of understanding reality as it is?
The moment?
Or the pleasant with wrong view? Wanting to have such and such pleasant feeling without any understanding.
The moment of perceiving realities is the most precious one, but it's rarely arise.
If there is no starting point, how can it grow?
I think you've come to the right place. Slowly you will realize that other teachings are just wrong. Slowly.
So at this moment the panya can check out whether there is mitchaditi focusing on a particular object at this very moment, the wrong view of self that can select an object or control it or slow it down.
Now I realize how much lopa I have because I try to get the permission for many hours.
Approval, not permission.
Approval.
So if you would like to go and sit and meditate, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Like I like to go and swim. It's okay. We all have different objects of lopa.
It's
not a problem. If we would like to eat a chocolate, it's lopa. It doesn't matter. We don't need to be so afraid of it. But at this moment, if we have the idea that by going and having a swim, there will be more understanding, or by going and concentrating on some sensations, that is the way to have understanding. That is the wrong view at this moment. So it always comes back to this moment. So the panya can see the difference between lopa and wrong view. It arises now.
How come meditation in hindered panya?
Wrong view. When we think that it is going to give us panya, then it is.
It's wanting to have it. Mm-hmm. Thinking by doing that you will achieve something. Mm.
It shows a lack of confidence or a lack of understanding in the power of panya at this moment. It shows there isn't any understanding of reality now, because it's like one always has the idea of another time, another place, and a self that can achieve it, not understanding what is conditioned already now.
Anyone to really understand each reality as it is, for example, what is samatha? What reality is it?
Samatha. But for me, my experience of ekakata.
Ekakata is not samatha. Samatha is the kaya pasati and citta pasati jetasikas. Not ekakata jetasika. See, wrong from the very beginning. So it cannot lead to more and more understanding.
So samatha is what?
Samatha is kaya pasati and citta pasati jetasikas.
Why do people always mix up ekakata and
because they don't mind about knowing the exact jetasika, because they think that concentration is so good that the mind is fixed on an object, doesn't go astray. So they just think that it's the way to see reality clearer by having such concentration. But that is not understanding. No matter what happens, no understanding. The arising like this or like this, no panya, no panya.
And also, can we also say that the Buddha taught 14 objects of meditation,
and each person has different accumulations for different objects of samatha, that is, there are 40 objects, right, for mm-hmm. samatha meditation.
To one's husband or one's child, that's the way that more metta can develop in daily life, not just by going to a special place at a special time and trying to concentrate on metta with no understanding of what its characteristic is.
There's one point we should consider, because usually one thinks that Buddha taught us to do this and that, but in reality he just showed us the truth of reality. He taught about the different levels of dana, like giving things or dhamma or apai, forgiveness. See, the nature of all these realities for the one who listened or read can consider and understand, have one's own understanding of what he taught. It doesn't mean that he taught us that by doing so you'll gain a lot of result like Sangadana and things like that. But he showed that when the mind is so kusala that one doesn't need anything in return, and for Sangadana it means that one shows, one gives with respect to any monk, not to a particular monk. So the result must be much more than when you would like to give to this particular one with something in mind, see? So he just showed the truth of all levels of realities, no matter it's dana or sila or samatha and vipassana. But he doesn't tell anyone, he didn't tell anyone to do this, but it's one's own understanding of one's own. For example, the giving away things is done by kusala citta. But how can anyone has always citta to give things away all the time? But by seeing the moment of having stinginess or clinging or not having kindness to anybody at all through speech and deeds, those are akusala moment, see? So he just showed everything which is real, the kusala dhamma and the akusala dhamma, and leave it to the one who listen, who read, to consider and behave according to one's understanding.
And conditions.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Acharya always says, don't imitate.
Right. Uh-huh. And Sotapanna can have lobha and dosa and still have moha, but not wrong view, see? By clinging to oneself with wrong view that it's permanent, it belongs to me, from head to toe, all the citta and cetasika, which are conditioned to be different tattu element. Because people sometimes think that everything is there waiting for a condition to arise. But in reality, nothing is there. Only conditions arise together, depending on the other, and arise together. Like the dependent origination, the paticchasamuppada, see? It doesn't mean that there is seeing or hearing waiting to arise. But when there are conditions for hearing, hearing arises just by that conditions and falls away instantly. So each moment, when we consider them as only, they are only elements, like rupa elements and nama elements, arising by conditions. For example, seeing arises here and hearing arises here. Different conditions for seeing and hearing, they are quite apart. The condition here and here with spaces in between, see? And some people think that it moves from here to here, like the heart base. When the seeing process has fallen away and then the mind or process experience the same object from here to here, there is no movement, because we think in terms of place. When we think of heaven and hell, or eyes and ears and heart, but in reality, when there are right conditions to arise, it arises and it's there. No doubt about how can it come from here to here, or from human being world to Brahma world, because of conditions only. So one can see the anattaness and uncontrollable, or conditions, which condition reality. And some would say, what are conditions? Which condition this moment? When one knows that there are only citta, cetasika, and rupa, the condition must be the reality which is there, not when it's not there. So the citta and the cetasika arising by citta conditions citta, cetasika and cetasika conditions citta.
Not physically going there, but the citta
physically. Yeah, because the citta cannot arise in the five khandhas plane. The citta has to arise at arupa as its base. He can go there. He could.
Cetasika arises at the heart base.
The ten arise here, five bases, and the others arise at the Hatayavatu.
Where is the Hatayavatu?
You cannot see, you cannot hear, you cannot touch. What can be touched?
No form.
But what can be touched?
Hardness.
So hardness is not Hatayavatu. The heart base is the place or the base which cittas arise, except the ten.
I don't want to know what these are.
The same as
Hatayavatu. Same thing.
Because when we use pasata rupa or chakupasata, sotapasata, we talk about the special rupa which can contact the aramana. While one is asleep, kama also produces all this rupa. But it's not the vattu, because citta does not arise there. The rupa which citta arises is vattu. So chakupasata is chakuvattu for seeing consciousness, but not for sampatichana santirana or the other citta which follows or which precedes. Because those moments arise at the heart base. That's why I said that it doesn't run around or move from here to there.
And how about the shape like a lotus and that's wrong?
What about the eyes here? It's not the eye sense. It's just the shape of the eye. So there are words like sampara chakku, which means the whole eyes, but not the eye base.
So the heart base is...
The whole is not the heart base.
Does it occur there? Does it occur in that shape, that lotus shape? With some liquid,
you know. Just when a child is born, just one cell. It doesn't have a heart yet. Just one cell. It already has Hatayavatu.
Hatayavatu and Hatayaru.
Yeah.
Are they different or what
the same? Good.
Vattu and Rupa.
Same.
But rupa is not the one which citta arises. It arises by kamma. All the chakupasata, sotapasata, while one is fast asleep, or even right now, kamma produces this rupa. But the one which citta arises there is vattu, chakuvattu. So chakupasada is chakuvattu for chakuvinyana, but it is the chakudvara for panchadvara, vachana, chakuvinyana, sampatichana, santirana, votapana, and chavana, and tathalabana. So the meaning of chakudvara is different from chakuvattu.
Sorry, what is vattu translate?
Birthplace.
Thank you.
Vattu.
Is birthplace?
Can I check my understanding again? So Hatayarupa is different from Hatayavattu.
Because when it's not the birthplace, it is Satya Rup, but when it's the birthplace, it is Satya Vattu. At moment of seeing, what is the birthplace? At the moment of seeing consciousness, the jaku, prasata, is jaku vattu. The heart base there is not the jaku vattu.
And the content about those colors, you know, black, red, white, are they true?
By hearing, by considering, or by experiencing?
Both.
So you know that who can know and who cannot know. Can we know like them? Who can know?
The
Sodaban
up to the Arahant.
No, not necessary. It depends on the
and the chana,
degrees and chana of accumulation of Panya. One cannot have such knowledge like Sariputta or Ananda.
And how about the Chandra people?
The same. That's why they are the foremost and those who just ordinary enlightened. What about seeing now instead of thinking about the lotus shape?
Yeah, that's why I like listening to Thanachan, because you will bring me back to realities.
Which is more important, understanding Satyavattu or eradicating wrong view at this moment?
I don't know whether I have asked you before whether you have teeth. Or life, or bone, or blood.
By name.
How can you know that you have when it does not appear?
When I
touch,
when the
it's hard.
Touch.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Okay. Is it a tooth?
It's hardness that I.
So do you have teeth?
What about when you go to the dentist and he tells you he can see your teeth and he's examining your teeth?
Do you have it? When? That you think you have it?
When I have.
Right now, right now. Do you have teeth?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
When I focus on
hardness, and you name it or call it teeth.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
About
when it's thinking,
yeah.
It's teeth.
So it's always the attasanya, the memory of self, mm-hmm. or the idea of self, that there is everything that you used to think that you have. But in reality, whatever appears just stays for very short, in split seconds. But the rupa which has arisen and fallen away, and it's not the object of awareness, is gone completely, the whole body.
Can we say that the same way as we were looking at teeth is how we look at the breath during meditation, the same way?
Because anything is the object in split seconds and completely gone, both nama and rupa.
The breath that you see is the same way as you describing your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You're describing the breath in the same way.
Do you have breath now?
When you ask me, I have breath.
In your memory. As long as it does not appear. Because when it does not appear, it has arisen and fallen away, each group completely. Because there are conditions for its arising, so it arises and falls away, not being the object of
and
awareness.
And how about when I have a toothache?
What is real at that moment?
At the pain.
Pain is real.
Yes.
And where is the teeth in that when pain appear?
When pain appears. Just just the feeling of pain,
so
not the teeth.
So at that moment there is no teeth.
Right, so there's no teeth there.
At that moment of pain there is no teeth.
No teeth. Right, just the feeling.
One
which is nama,
object
right?
at a time.
Which is nama?
What is nama?
Pain.
You have to remember. You have to think of the pages in the book.
Feeling.
But in order to understand Dhamma, Dhamma is here and now. So when we talk about any Dhamma, we can consider and understand better and better. For example, when we talk about Nama, without Nama, nothing appears at all in this room or anywhere. Because the nama is that reality which experiences, so something can appear. We think that we experience many things in one's life from birth up to now, but without nama, nothing can appear.
Nama, here you mean both citta and cetasika?
Without citta and cetasika, nothing can appear.
And contacts and feeling and memory are the most important thing?
Cetasikas.
Cetasikas. The most important cetasikas. That main one thing that we have self.
Sanya.
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 Vedana, right? Vedana. And Sanya. And contact too, I think. Right? And what else? Or just these three?
40, 52.
Yes, 52. But the most important.
You mean seven that arise, is that what you mean?
Everyone, yes.
Seven.
Everyone is important.
Everyone is.
But some are one khanda by themselves, like Vedana and Sanya. In the kanha, they are a khanda by himself.
Vedana and Sanya.
And Sanya, yeah.
Because Vedana is so important. Without Vedana, we don't have to search for anything at all.
How come my understanding is so clear when I'm in the discussion group, and after that, it's anatta. Incorrect.
Is that right understanding that you can control or you can change? It depends on right or wrong understanding.
It's wrong, but how about if it's...
It's wrong.
Because that's the object of anger, and then we just change because we can remember.
When there is the understanding that anger is unwholesome, it's right. But when there is the idea that I will change, it's wrong.
If there is no idea of self, but from the memory that... Oh.
The self is thinking.
The thinking.
The self
is thinking.
Because it's you who thinks.
So thinking is self.
When it's you who thinks, not citta and cetasika. But when it's citta and cetasika, it's right understanding. Possible. And also while there is awareness is so short, the wrong view can come very slightly. But it's there. So Panya can see that it's wrong view. If Panya cannot see, one still follow the wrong view again.
But we always try to think in terms of if not black, then it's white, as if it was so simple. Okay, this is wrong view. We think we recognize wrong view, we are having correct view. But it's a different level of wrong view, which we usually jump into, isn't it?
The right view is the firm foundation understanding of anatta-ness. Never forget that everything is conditioned when it arises. And awareness is aware, not you who is aware. By developing the understanding that there is no one, And if awareness does not arise, there cannot be any moment of awareness. This is the way to become detached from taking awareness from me or I, or desire to have awareness. Even awareness is conditioned to be aware of a certain object. We cannot choose, we cannot know beforehand what would be the object of awareness. Right understanding develops because besides the two cetasikas, which are vedana and sanya, the other cetasikas are sankhara khanda, which is the what you call sankhara khanda formation cetasikas, because once it arises, it's there and can form up the other level of understanding if it's panya. It grows little by little.
If my husband gets angry and he won't control it, if he screams,
then that it's uncontrollable.
I realize it's vipaka.
Yes. Even right now, seeing is vipaka. Hearing vipaka. Is thinking vipaka?
No.
Like when you get angry, even there can be a moment of awareness of anger and seeing how very unwholesome it is, and then next moment angry again. Who can stop it or control it?
I asked you one thing, can I ask you one thing? When he does get angry, what's your reaction?
Get angry back.
Huh? What's your reaction to him when he gets angry?
Before?
No.
In the past or?
Well,
now?
Even now. Control shows it can't be control. Sometimes it can be calmness. Sometimes it can be anger. It changes. Just there's no set pattern.
No set pattern.
Yeah, there's no control. It's not like you're in control.
Is that correct or incorrect?
It's what happens. It's the conditions that happen.
Even before it was conditions.
Mm. You can see there's no control over that. Mm-hmm. And there's no difference. If there's anger towards him or unhappiness with him, it's also dosa.
Isn't thinking correct?
It's not panya cetasika.
When I realize
some people might think that it's panya, but actually it's not panya cetasika.
So what is
noticing? You just learn to notice certain feelings.
Yeah. And then I went to bed.
Panya understand dosa as a reality. Dosa is a reality. Whenever it arises, it's a reality.
Okay.
It has its own characteristic.
And how about
its own function, not you. You cannot do anything.
I see. And how about the feeling that
it's conditioned to be such kind of feeling?
I feel the heat.
Heat is a reality
from
again.
From the anger.
Anger is a reality.
The heat is reality.
You cannot escape.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say that it's me or mine.
And the movement of
a
the
reality.
Cells.
A reality.
And then that calms
a
me
reality,
down.
A reality.
That's a reality.
Yeah. That's why we understand that everything which is real is Dhamma, a reality. And learn to see the difference between the Nama and the Rupa. That is Panya Cetasika, which sees reality as it is. Nama is Nama, Rupa is Rupa.
So anger is Nama, and then when Panyasi.
For example, now we're talking about awareness of such and such time. What about seeing right now? If there can be awareness of seeing right now, we don't have any question about when anger arises. It's so common to be a reality, just a reality, because there can be the understanding of this moment as a reality.
There's a Sufi saying, you cannot ride a camel that has already gone, nor can you ride the camel that has not come.
Object to be known, or trying to have certain realities experienced and not others, so no one likes dosa, so everyone would like to find ways to avoid having dosa and avoid experiencing someone else's dosa. So it shows the strong clinging to self at those times, that we like this one but not that one. So everyone wants to know how to change the dosa, how to control the dosa. But what about the lobha at this moment? Who minds about the lobha? And what about the wrong view when we have the idea that we can control dosa? Is there any, do we care about the wrong view?
And
just the dosa
ignorance too.
And ignorance. Mm-hmm. What about when they're seeing with ignorance? Does anyone mind about it? But because dosa is always accompanied by unpleasant feeling, those are the ones that we would like to control or change. So it shows a lack of understanding of realities that they experience at this moment.
So
that's why the wrong view is the most important to understand and eradicate, because if there's a wrong idea of self that can control, it's always trying to change and control, never accepting what is conditioned already and being satisfied to know what is appearing now.
Can I use the word jedana jedasik instead of the word self?
You can use any word. Permission again.
Understanding of reality, of jedana as not you.
The understanding of jedana, that is not me, you know, I have... it arises very little by little from understanding.
So it's not the matter of changing word, it's the matter of understanding. Each characteristic of reality is not you. It has its own characteristics.
And how about the moment that...
It has its own characteristic again, each moment.
The moment that the self is realized,
Reality is not you.
That's panya, right?
No.
Panya.
No.
Say it.
Panya does not say. It understands.
Acham, is it because of chetana? Because we always think that we are just happens.
But not only chetana. All realities we take for self, like seeing, hearing, craving, dosa.
The realities are there anyway, the seeing, the hearing, the chetana, the dosa, they're there anyway, but it's not seeing or the chetana that is covering it up with wrong view. It's the ditti that accompanies the citta that is, and the moha, the ignorance that is blinding it. So the chetana isn't blinding. It's just intending at each moment.
Doing its function.
Reality is not being aware of chetana. It's only thinking about chetana. Until there is the understanding of the different characteristic of nama and rupa, then it appears as nama, not as I think that it is chetana. Because it's still your chetana, but you name it, say change it into reality.